Sunday night, since these teens gave some testimonies, and so this has been on my heart all week. Excuse me. So I pray that I can give you some words of encouragement tonight that will help you. Can I say this? Don't ever allow a familiar passage of Scripture to become so familiar that you tune out what's being said because you think you know everything about what's being said. You know, if somebody opens up to Psalm 23, you're like, oh, yeah, well, I already heard that before. Right? We sometimes tend to tune out because I've heard that before. I so-and-so pray. That's nothing new. God might just have something for you. And so I encourage you to listen intently, not because it's my words, but because it's His word. And I've learned that most people, myself, definitely myself included, sometimes need to hear something more than once anyway, right? Before it sticks. And so I pray this will be an encouragement to you tonight. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse number 7. And I hope you're following along here. Some of these teens are taking notes. I'm thankful for that. If you take notes, I think that's good. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Father, we again ask you for your help tonight. Would you just speak to our hearts from your word? Would you help me? Give me the power that I need from the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God to these thy people. Would you take it and multiply it, and Lord, may it just find good ground and bring forth much fruit. And Lord, I'll be thankful for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about this tonight. Weary in well-doing. Weary in well-doing. Silencia said Sunday night something that really struck a chord in my heart. Silencia said, is it okay if I say this? You said it publicly, so I'm going to. Okay. Silencia said Sunday night that before camp and before God really worked in her heart at camp, that she was almost at the point of giving up. She was at the point spiritually of, I can't do this. It was difficult. Have you been there before? I've been there before. Not me. I've never been there. Just wait. The Christian life is not always easy, right? It's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it seems as like the harder you try, the less you accomplish. And it seems as if the more you try to do right, the less you feel you do right. Paul said it good. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't. The things that I don't want to do, those are things that I do. He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He struggled. We all have struggles. And I say this tonight to the Wednesday night crowd, the cream of the crop, you might say, you're here, you're faithful, you're here on Wednesday night. Can I say that most of the people that are here tonight are people that are serving and you're faithful and you're doing service to God. And you are what the Bible just said is well doing. You're doing good things for God. But can I just say tonight that sometimes those who are doing most and those who are doing much in the service of God can easily become weary. It is easy for those who do majority of the work or those who do majority of the labor in a ministry, it's easy for them to get weary in well doing. It's easy for somebody to get quote-unquote burnout in the ministry. It's easy to get, and even if you're not weary, it's easy to get to a place in your life when you just, I'm doing it, but my heart's not in it. And maybe this message is for you tonight. You do what you do, and you're faithful to it, and you do it, but your heart's not in it. Well, I got nursery tonight. I better just get ready and go. Hmm? You come and you show up, but you got weary. Maybe it's your Sunday school class. You show up and you're there, but sometimes it's easy to get weary in well-doing. It happens. Can I tell you, it's a dangerous place to be in when you're faithfully serving in a ministry, but you become weary. Because when you become weary and your heart's not in it, listen to what I'm telling you. When your heart's not in it, you're not going to be effective to those you're ministering to. You're not going to be effective. And by the way, those who are under your watch care, you have to give an account for what you do and what you teach and how you are with them. Well, you just answered my problem. I'm quitting. That's not the message tonight. Now, the Bible says, Paul says it in the first verse we read, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Now, just as introduction, can I just say that's still true today? God is not mocked. That whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he says, for if he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. You have to understand if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And I know a lot of Christians who sow and sow and sow to the flesh, and they think God's going to bless it. But you can't sow to the flesh and expect God's blessing upon your life. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption every time. Can I just tell you, whatever you reap, you will sow more than you'll reap more than you sow. Right? You plant 4 kernels of corn in the ground, you're not getting 4 kernels back. You're getting much more back. Amen? He goes on and he says in verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, what does that word weary mean? Tired? I wrote down some things. Tired is one of them. How many of you get tired? Cam said earlier today, he's tired. He's been out working in the hot sun all week, all day. And I know he's been tired. How many of you just get tired, period? Sometimes you come in on Sunday. Listen, how many of you have been here on Sunday? I've been here on Sunday. And maybe there's a lot going on the weekend. You show up and it's like everybody's tired. Right? And we're just kind of like zombies. Walking in, we sing like zombies, we walk like zombies, we talk like, it's just kind of going through the motions. We get tired. What about this about weary? What about lack of motivation? Giving up. What about this one? Evidence that you might be weary. Lack of enthusiasm. All right, kids. Open up your Bibles. We're going to do our lesson this morning for Sunday school. Open up your Bibles. I didn't look at this till this morning, so. Are we helping those kids? Are we helping those who are weary? I'm not being mean. I'm just saying we get weary. Lack of motivation. I'm going to do just as little as it, just. I'm going to do just enough that I don't get fussed at. Right? Going through the motions. Listen, the Christian life's not always easy. Many times we get bogged down with things in our life, don't we? We get weary. Sometimes I'm afraid we feel like Elijah. I'm the only one doing right. I'm the only one serving. I'm the only one that gives any part of care about the ministry at times. I'm the only one. Remember what God told Elijah? Elijah, let me burst your bubble. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. So you're not the only one who cares. You're not the only one who's serving. You're not the only one who is going through a difficulty. Trials and testings come and we get weary. But can I just tell you tonight that the Bible says, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that we should endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. That means tighten your belt and get up and do something for God, even if it gets hard, even if it gets difficult, even if there's problems, even if somebody don't show up on their time, you do it, and you do it with a joyful heart, as to the Lord and not to men. That's how we must live our lives. James says that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. How many of you want more patience? Nobody raises their hand. Nobody wants. How many of you want more patience? Okay, let me say it this way. How many of you need more patience? If you want more patience, guess what's going to have to happen? Some tribulation and some trials. The trying of your faith worketh patience. I like what 1 Peter 1:6 says. Listen to this. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. And here's the whole key to this verse. Listen to this. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. If need be. Here's what God is saying. He's looking at your life, and if need be, he's going to put some testings in your life. He's going to allow some trials to come. If need be. And look at what he says on, he goes and finishes the verse. He says that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Why does God put us through trials? Why does God allow things to happen that cause us to become weary? Because he wants to make us more like Christ. He's trying to conform us into the image of his dear son. He's trying to make us more like Jesus. Did Jesus go through trials? Did he go through testings? Did he go through temptation? He went through everything. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. You say, well, see right there, that proves it. Just because I go through it don't mean that I'm going to be perfect. Now, that's not what he said, that you'd be perfect. But he did say you could go through it and he would be there to help you through that temptation. That with the temptation you face, he would make a way of escape. What about this? Let me read a verse to you. Just came to my mind. 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, oh, there's that dirty word again, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Listen to what he says. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, what things? What things is he talking about? Faith, virtue, temperance, adding to your faith. If ye do these things, listen to what he says, ye shall not fall. But why is it that we fall? Why is it that we quit? Why is it that we give up? Why is it that we give in? Because we're not doing those things. Right? Common sense, right? I like what Jude, I think verse 26 says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. But what do when we mess up or when we, it's just my flesh. How about this one? It's just the way God made me. Don't you blame God. We choose how we do, right? We choose how we act and how we behave. God, that's just the way God made it. It's actually his fault. Now, we make a choice, don't we? But sometimes we get weary. Can I just tell you that there are times that we face legitimate difficulties in the Christian life. Have mercy, I got to hurry. We face difficulties in the Christian life. How about this? We face criticism. Don't we? By the way, if you're critical, stop it. That's all I know how to say. Stop. Right? Quit it. Well, I don't know if I'm going to. Yes, you do. Don't be critical. That means if you can't say something nice, close it. I don't care if it's to your husband, to your children. Keep your mouth shut if you don't have something nice to say. Amen. Criticism does nothing but hurt others. Right? Moses faced criticism, didn't he? He's trying to lead God's people, and everybody's like, I wish we were back in Egypt. They even took up stones to stone him. Over and over. What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah is trying to build the wall, and Sanballat and Tobiah said, this wall, I can't believe you're trying to build this wall. If a fox goes up on this wall, it's going to fall down. They were trying to distract him and criticize him when he was trying his best to live for God. Can I just say this? Most of the people that are trying their best to live for God are going to face criticism. And if you're the one criticizing him, that tells me you're not living for God. Right? What about David? Here's David leaving, and Shimei comes, and Shimei begins criticizing from afar. Here's David and his men leaving Jerusalem, and Shimei is over on the side of the hill saying derogatory things. Basically, the Bible says he's basically using profanity against David and criticizing him. And then Shimei starts picking up rocks and throwing them at David. Anybody thrown any rocks at anybody, spiritually speaking? David faced criticism. See, some criticism you will hear. Some you won't. Here's a good way we criticize. Hey, I got a prayer request for you. Did you know that this person, fill in the blank, we just need to pray for him. Criticism. How about this? How about expectations? You know, I've learned that you can be there for somebody all the time, and the one time you can't be, they're mad. Right? You can be there for them every day, all day, for 10 years, and miss one time, I knew he didn't love me. I knew that church, I knew they didn't care about me. Expectation. What about misunderstandings? You ever been misunderstood? You know what a lot of times misunderstanding leads to? It leads to presumption and gossip. Someone misunderstands what you said, and because they, and you know why people misunderstand? Because they listen to respond. They don't listen to hear. Right? Brother Mike's telling me something. I'm not paying attention to what he's saying. I'm just waiting until he's done so I can say what I want to say. Right? So now, then you misunderstand what's being said. And so now because you misunderstood and got offended, now you're going to go tell somebody else what you think he meant. I feel like I'm got a hose that's got a kink in it right here on this part. Like I hit a nerve. Right? Well, this is what he said. And you go back and forth, is that what you said? No. I didn't say that. Here's what I said. Oh. But see, the damage has been done because you've already told 10 people what you thought they said, and now you've ruined their testimony. Right? How about loneliness? You feel lonely. You feel like nobody cares. What about discouragement? Just basic discouragement. The teens request prayer for this a lot. What about balancing your priorities? Huh? Is that sometimes difficult in your Christian life? See, sometimes we gotta try to make time for God. Personal struggles, right? Family, finances, health, temptation. I'm talking about just stuff that we deal with on a daily basis, it seems. And guess what happens when we deal with these things? What happens to us? And all the while we're trying to do right, all the while we're trying to serve, we're trying to live godly, and we're dealing with all this stuff, and what happens to us? We become weary in well-doing. Can I give you some things real quick, and I really do have to do this quickly, that can help us overcome and persevere in our walk with God? I hope you can write these down. Number one, here's how to not be weary in well-doing. Ready? Be a person grounded in God's Word. Be a person grounded in God's Word. Let me give you a few verses here tonight. Psalm 119. Be a person grounded in God's Word. I can't tell you how important it is for you to be in the Word of God every single day and get something from it. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What did the old preacher say? Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. That's true. Look at verse 24, Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Hey, don't go ask your friend that hasn't been to church in 6 months what you should do about a situation. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. We always ask counsel from people who we think are going to agree with us. Well, I know that they're going to think the same thing I do. What do you think I should do? I think that's what I thought. I knew that's what I should do. That's what we do. He says here, thy word is my counselor. Look in verse number 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer. Oh, wait, that's not the right verse. I don't think it is. Yeah, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. Here's what he says, for I trust in thy word. Verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, or made me alive. He said, thy word has made me alive. Are you in the Bible? Are you grounded in the word of God every day? If you're not grounded in the Bible, you're going to get weary. You can find help in the word of God. Look in verse 71. Listen to this verse. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, how many can truly say that? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We're saying, when I got afflicted, it caused me to get in the Word more, and I got to know God better when I got afflicted. Now, that's a true believer that will get to know God better during affliction. Somebody that truly isn't saved will go the other way. Look in verse number 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction. What do you delight in tonight? Where is your delight? Is it in God's word? Verse 101 says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Verse 165 says, great peace have they, listen to this, great peace have they which love thy law. Can I stop right there and say, how many of you love the law of God? How many of you love his word? You know, here's what the rest of it, and nothing shall offend them. What's nothing mean? You know what it tells me? If you're getting offended by stuff and by people all the time, it's because you're not delighting in his law. Amen? If you were in the book, that wouldn't offend you. And if it did offend you, you'd get over it real quick. Right? Well, I just can't believe he said that. Get in the Word. Quit it. Get in the Word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says this, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And listen to what he says, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We should be established and rooted in the Word of God, and if we're not, we're going to get weary in well-doing. You should not depend on the pastor to give you what you need for your Christian life. If you're waiting, the only time I'm getting instruction is three times a week, you're missing the Christian life. Thank God we have a pastor, and he's going to preach the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. But what if you can't be here? Don't depend on that. Get in the Word of God. Be rooted in God. How about this? Number two, be a person guided by principle. Let me ask you a question. What guides your thinking tonight? And I say guided by principle, meaning this, apply God's word to each and every situation you encounter. The principles of our life should be dictated by God's word, not our preferences, not what we think. How about that? Not how we were raised. Well, that's just the way I was brought up. Then you were brought up wrong. Let me tell everybody something real quick. This book trumps you, your mom, your dad, everything. It trumps everything. Amen. This book is the most important. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter your preference. Doesn't matter what you... It's what does the Bible say? And we must be people, if we're not going to get weary while doing, that are principled not by what we think, not by our political affiliation, but by the Word of God. What is right? That we should teach our children what is right. That every aspect of our life, raising our children, everything should be by what does the Bible say? I was thinking about this weekend. I was reading, I forget who I was reading with, and I reading after, and he said, this is a good example. He said, there might be times that your children might ask you why. You tell them to do something, they ask you why. Now, if they're doing it with a smart aleck response, take appropriate action. But if they're doing it with a teachable spirit and a good attitude, and they're saying, would you go do this? Yes, sir. Dad, can I ask why you want me to do that? Then give it. Because I said so, that's why. I wouldn't encourage you to do that. If you do, they're going to grow up having all these questions, and somebody else is going to answer them for them. So better you tell them the biblical reason why. And by the way, if you don't have a biblical reason for why you're asking them to do it, you might ought to find one. Actually, don't find a biblical reason to do what you're doing. Do what the Bible says. Right? They're going to ask why. And if they're doing it with a teachable spirit, I think it's okay for you to say, well, here's why. Oh. Okay. It's giving you an opportunity to teach them the ways of the Lord. Be guided by principle, not popularity. A.W. Tozer said, I am willing to disappoint men so long as not to disappoint God. Right? Wouldn't that be good if we lived by that principle? Not because of popularity. Not because of pragmatism. Did y'all... I knew a big word. Did y'all know that? Well, what is pragmatism? If it works, it must be right. Can I tell you, just because it produces results doesn't mean it's biblical. That's where you get this emerging church and this movement that's going on today. Because, well, hey, I could... Whatever we can do to get people here, I don't care what it is. Give away lottery tickets at the door. Whatever we got to do to get them here. Don't be guided by pragmatism. Be guided by the Word of God. Amen? Not because what... How about this? Don't be guided by just what keeps the peace. Now, this is where some of us got to be careful. We're guided by what? Well, whatever, we'll just keep the peace. And you will suffer the consequences of neglecting the truth just to make appeasement with the problem that you're dealing with. Can I tell you something that I've said? And don't do it, because I'm just telling you what I've said. I've told Kelly this. Me and Kelly have talked about this, I think. I think I was talking to myself. I don't know. I may have, because I do that sometimes. I support my wife. Amen? Well, what if she does wrong? It's my wife. No. You got to be guided by principle. And the problem is, we got a lot of men that whatever makes the peace. Be somebody, a man or a woman, that's going to be guided by principle. I support you as long as you're right. And I know this because me and Kelly have talked about this. She supports me as long as I'm right. And if I'm not right, she'll tell me. I hope so. I might not like it immediately. But if I got a right spirit, I'll appreciate it. I will appreciate what she's trying to. Listen, don't. Well, that's my wife, and she kills somebody, I'll help her bury the body. You're an idiot. You are an idiot. That, you know what that tells me? That tells me how much you neglect the Word of God in your life. Be somebody that's guided by the principle of God's Word. See, the Bible doesn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. Hello. Blessed are the peace makers. We got a lot of people just want to keep the peace. Do what's right even if it bothers somebody. Are y'all with me? Even if it bothers, do what is right. If she makes you sleep on the couch, do what's right anyway. Are y'all with me tonight? Just do what's right. Be a person that's guided by the Word of God. Not because of pressure. Listen, there will be many that will try to get you to compromise your beliefs and principles for the sake of pacifying their desires. Well, Pastor, I don't think you should have preached on that. Well, God didn't give it to you. He gave it to me. You asked me to be the pastor. I'm talking for the pastor because he's not here. Right? If you trust him, then don't be criticizing what he's saying if it's the Bible. How many times have you heard Pastor Warren Governor say, if I don't preach the truth, then somebody better tell me? If he's preaching the Bible, then say amen or say nothing at all. Yeah, that's what happens. By the way, I think I'm going to have to stop doing this, because if you agreed with it, you'd say amen. Right? Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say? Don't listen. Don't do it. That's where you get compromise comes in, because of pressure. Well, Pastor, we feel that. And I'm telling you, I've learned so much from Pastor, and I thank God that no matter who it makes, Pastor is going to stay by this book. You like it, lump it, do whatever you want. I'm thankful we have a man of God that's going to stay by the book. Amen? Amen. Quickly, I got 2 minutes. Wow. Be a person that is, what's number one? I forgot. That's grounded by God's word. Number two, a person that is guided by principle. Number three, a person who guards their heart. Proverbs 4:23, what's it say? Anybody know? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You need to be a person that guards your heart from discontentment. All right, let me ask you a question. We live in a society today that nobody is content with anything. They're not content. They're not content with their spouse. They're not content with their kids. They're not content with their church. They're not content with their car. They're not content with their house. They're not content with the paint on the wall. They're not content with the furniture. They're not content with the vehicle that they drive. They're not content with the gas that they put in the car. They're not content with the food that they have. They're not content with the clothes that they have. They're not content with anything. And Paul said, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. And he wrote it from a prison cell. And you and I must guard our heart from discontentment and always trying to find something to satisfy our fleshly desires in this world and let Christ be our one and only. I'm reading a book right now called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. I encourage you to read it because he's saying God needs to be the one priority in your life. He needs to be pursuing after him and not pursuing after everything else. If we were content in Christ, everything else would fall into place. What about bitterness? Be a person that guards your heart from bitterness. Looking diligent, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, your bitterness not only affects you, it affects others. And by the way, can I say this? Be careful what you say about difficulty in front of your children. And your spouse. Somebody offended you or somebody wrong. You don't need to be going off about them in front of your children. Are you that dumb? Well, here they are sitting right here beside you. And you're just letting this other person have it to somebody else. And they're hearing every word you say. You just ruined their testimony to that person. Well, that's true. Let's go back to misunderstandings and gossip. Why would you speak ill about someone that is a person of leadership or as another adult in front of your children? Stop! Or your spouse. Why would somebody offends me, and as soon as they offend me, I'm going to go tell Kelly. Now what has Kelly done? Hopefully not. But most people, what will they do? They'll think ill of the person that offended me because she loves me. That is wrong. Everybody got that? That's wrong. Because what have I done? I've hurt their testimony. If you got a beef with somebody, keep it between you. Get it right and keep your mouth closed. Nobody else needs to be knowing it. Could you pray for me? I got offended. Well, what happened? Well, he did. Well, now you've got it all stirred up. Everybody understand? Pride. Be careful for pride. I got a lot of verses. Let me just give you one verse because I got to hurry. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 13:10. Is there contention in your relationship? Work? Is there contention in your relationship at work? Contention in your relationship with your spouse? Contention in your relationship with your children? Here's why there's contention. Pride. Is the Bible true? Only by pride comes contention. Guard yourself from religious activity. Pastor said this Sunday night, don't mistake busyness for godliness. I'm involved in 10 ministries. That's good. Are you reading your Bible every day? Do you walk with God? Are you criticizing everybody while you're serving in those 10 ministries? Amen right there. Don't think you're godly just because you serve. Right? Don't miss the big picture. Let me ask you a question real quick and I'm done. Why do we do what we do? You ever ask yourself that question? Why do I do this? Why do I do the nursery? Why do I do the Sunday school? Why do I do the... Why do we do it? You tell me. Why do we do what we do here? What is it? So, well, you're doing... Then we need to have a talk about salvation. Because if you're working to get to heaven, we got an issue. Why do we do what we do? Service? Why? For the glory of God. Not your glory, not for Tabernacle Baptist, not for Orlando. We're doing it for the glory of God. And you know what happens? We allow other stuff to come in and we miss the big picture because of other stuff. Petty stuff. Number five, and I'm just going to say it, be a person gracious in spirit. Paul said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Be a person gracious in spirit. Now listen to me. Paul said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How do I keep from fainting? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 says this, for consider him, Jesus Christ, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You don't want to be weary in well-doing? You don't want to get weary in what you're doing for God? You don't want to faint? Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes focused on him and for his glory, and I promise you, you might get weary, but in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for speaking to hearts. Thank you for your word and how it can help us in every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No choir practice tonight, but there is orchestra practice. So if you play an instrument, got an instrument, there we go. Right here. Brother Allen, we're having it right here, correct? So now some of you are teens. If you're in the orchestra, you need to get over here for orchestra practice, okay? Yes. Okay, the rest of you, get on up for orchestra practice. Be here Sunday morning, okay? 9:45. Be in your place. We'll see you. Good night. God bless you.